This week's readings found on page 1052 of the Church Bibles, and we're looking at Luke 18, verses 15 to 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it."
A slightly morbid question. If you were to die tonight, or some point during today, and you were to face Jesus, and he were to say to you, "Why should I let you enter my kingdom? Why should I let you enter my kingdom?" Take 30 seconds, a minute, write down your answer. I'm going to put these back with my bag. It's Monday morning. You're sat at your desk. You've just come in. You've grabbed your Starbucks coffee on the way in, and you're sipping it, and you're perking up slightly, and you look around your colleagues. Who will enter God's kingdom? Well, there's Nicola. Well, she's really nice. She's actually one of those really annoyingly nice people who's really, really, really nice. She's always helpful, always polite. She's got the perfect kids. She's really nice. There's Nicola. And then there's Peter. Peter's always, well, he's a bit of a joker, really. He's the centre of attention. He's always telling you what he got up to at the weekend. Nicola and Peter. And then there's Pavel. And Pavel, well, you only really know his name because of his lanyard that hangs around his neck. And he pushes his cleaning trolley through your office as he ends his shift. Who will enter God's kingdom? What runs through our mind? It's Wednesday evening. We're sat in our comfy favourite chair in front of the 10 o'clock news. 2 weeks ago, it was Nice and Turkey and the coup there. Last week, it was Munich. And next week, you know, what's going to happen? What's going to happen in the world news? And as we see these kind of nightmare situations coming in front of us, and we think about the fact that God will finally perfect his kingdom, who is it from the news, from real life, from world news, will enter God's kingdom? It's Thursday, and you're at HBC. You're helping out. You're on the field in your tent with your bunch of, is it 9s and 10-year-olds? Yep, great, I've got that bit right. And you've got your 9 or 10-year-olds in front of you, and they've just had the talk, and they've been offered an opportunity to respond to the good news of Jesus. Who is it who will enter the kingdom? Is it Helpful Harry or Bright Belinda or maybe Nightmare Nigel? Sorry, any Nigels out there. There's a slight problem with not knowing everybody's name at the moment. But next Sunday, you're at church. And you've had a nice time, it's been really nice, and you've got your coffee, and it's real fresh coffee, none of this instant stuff, and you're sipping it away, and then crashing into your leg, the one you hurt only a few months ago, and it's just getting better, comes a kid. And you hurt your knee again, and your coffee spills, you burn your hand. Oh, these blinking kids, what are they doing here? Can't they control themselves? Can't they go outside and play football? Who will enter God's kingdom? And as we dive into our verses, if you've got a Bible close, it would be wonderful if you could open them to page 1052, Luke chapter 18. We're going to travel back 2,000 years ago, and we're going to see. Well, I just want us to imagine we're there. We're one of the disciples. And Jesus has been teaching away, and we're really listening intently. We're on the edge of our seats, well, maybe the edge of the blade of grass we're sitting on, and we're hanging on Jesus' every word. He's just told us this wonderful story about a Pharisee and a tax collector. And we're trying to get a head round it. And we're waiting for what's going to come next. Jesus, who is this person interrupting us, we think? Jesus, a couple of parents come up. And they say, please, Jesus, can you place your hands on little Benjamin, please? And we're incensed. Look, don't you know how important Jesus is? Jesus is giving life-changing teaching here. Stuff that people are going to be talking about for centuries, millennium to come. He did the Pharisee and the tax collector. He's also done the rich man and Lazarus and the persistent widow. He's done a trilogy, the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. That these are going to be known forever. Jesus is so, so important. Even 5,000 people, thousands of people gather to hear him. And you want him to touch your little child? Place your hands on him? And your friend says, don't you know how tired Jesus is? Stop bothering him. You know, he does all these miracles and all his teaching. And he was going under such emotional stress too. You know, there are people who oppose Jesus, you know, people who don't want Jesus to be doing these good things. Why are you bothering him with your child? Verse 15, people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. And we turn to Jesus looking for that approving nod, don't we? You're protecting me. Thank you, my disciples. Or that reassuring smile that we've done the right thing. But verse 16, Jesus called the children to him. Ooh, the burn, as we've been shot down again. Now, I've really struggled with this passage because I feel there should be a real tension here in what the disciples expect and what actually happens. But I just really don't think it works today. I mean, kids, we love them, don't we? It's wonderful to hear such wonderful prayers for the children, to have HBC running. We've got so many kids and a church that's so focused on children and youth. It's wonderful. And actually, in today's eyes, children, well, every politician wants to be seen holding a baby, don't they? It's good. It's good publicity. To have a child. But maybe it's not quite, we're not quite there. I mean, I grew up in a church where there were people who, the situation with the church was that every other week or so, the kids would start off in their children's groups, and so wouldn't be in the church at all, in the kind of the main body. But then every other week, they would kind of do an altogether thing at the beginning. And it was really interesting that there would be some people as a kid that I'd never see, because they'd never come to church when the kids were in the church, and they'd only ever come when they weren't. I was at another church where we had a kid slot for the first 15 minutes, and there were people who you could guarantee would be 20 minutes late. Every single week, they would be 5 minutes early to a Bible study midweek, but when it came to church on a Sunday morning, they'd be 15 minutes late, maybe because they think, oh, childish teaching, don't want the children around. Or maybe you've sat there with a child and they're crying and you just hear the, don't they know there's a creche available? Maybe we don't actually love children as much. But in Jesus' day, kids were, well, they were the lowest of the low. Children, like women, derived their position in society from the men that they were associated with. You know, had no real value in themselves. And one person said, childhood was an unavoidable interim between birth and adulthood. You just had to be a child. There was no inescapable fact. But to be honest, if you could avoid being a child, you'd want to. In a world of haves and have-nots, children very much were the have-nots. They were the lowest of the low. They had no status in themselves. They were the have-nots. Maybe we've brought children more into being having some status in society. But another thing that children don't have, and they still don't have today, is a self-dependency. Children are dependent. Now, I've asked Josephine to come up to the front. She's wonderfully being carried by Nigel. Thank you, Nigel. And why is she being carried? For movement, she's dependent on her father. Josephine, what did you do this morning?
She got up.
She's dependent on communication on her father. And how did you find putting on your clothes?
Difficult.
She was dressed by her father or mother. One of the two.
Mum this morning.
Yeah. And then she'll have some food, and as we know our biology, food comes out. If it comes out the top, then who will clean her up but her parents? If it comes out the normal way, then who will clean her up?
Parents.
Her parents. She's utterly dependent. There's nothing in her that she depends on herself. And thanks, you can keep wandering around at the back if you want. But those of you who have older children, it's not just when you're a baby. Even if your kid can talk and dress themselves. Well, there was a report coming out this week talking about school holidays. Needs people to look after children. Why is that? Because dependent. My parents would probably even say that I'm dependent upon them, even now, as I'm an adult. Children are fundamentally dependent. Dependent have-nots. There's nothing in them that's valuable, and Jesus says, it's these people who will enter the kingdom of God. Have a look with me to verse 17. Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." You want to see who it is who will enter Jesus' kingdom? What you need to do is look at a Josephine. Look at a little baby. Look at a child. And they'll give you that glimpse of what it looks like. It's a dependent have-not. They're the people who are going to enter Jesus' kingdom. God's kingdom belongs to dependent have-nots. Now, these verses, just a few of them, are sandwiched between two probably slightly more famous verses, the Pharisee and the tax collector, and the rich young man. He's known as young man, probably because he claims to have kept most of the Ten Commandments. And people say he's young because he can't have lived that long to know that you can't. But anyway, these verses are set, and in some respects they're set up as in apposition or kind of in contrast. Three people walk into a room in Jesus' day. A Pharisee, a young rich man, and a child. And you'll ask the question, who will enter God's kingdom? And you'll say the Pharisee, the religious person who's prayerful, who isn't a robber or an evildoer. They fast and they give their money away. Well, the Pharisee will enter God's kingdom. Well, the rich man, obviously he'll enter God's kingdom. He's rich, he's been blessed by God. And if he's more like the one we're presented with, he's definitely in. But in these 20 verses, Jesus flips the table round. The child wouldn't get in. And it's the child who enters, and the Pharisee, who doesn't go home justified before God. And it is more likely to fit a camel through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, I did some sewing yesterday. My button had fallen off my trousers, so I thought if I was preaching, I should have trousers that fitted up. And I struggled to get a thread through the eye of a needle, and that's meant to work. A camel, probably taller than I am, just doesn't happen. It's impossible. And Jesus says, look, if you want to enter God's kingdom, you've got to be like a dependent nobody. And that begs the question for us this morning. Have you received God's kingdom like a baby? Have you received God's kingdom like a baby? And the reason I gave you that post-it note was to hopefully get a window into your own heart. It's for yourself. I don't want to see them. And you don't have to show them to anyone else. But that question, if Jesus stood there and said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What is the answer? Where is it that you're resting your dependency on? Now, if your answer begins with, well, I have dot, 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 do you hear the warning Jesus is saying here? He says, verse 17, anyone who will not receive the kingdom like a dependent nothing, a little child, mark these words, follow with me, will never enter it. And if we're saying, I will do this, or I have done this, then we're trusting in ourselves. We're being self-dependent. Or if we say, well, I bring this, then we're saying there's something I'm bringing, something in that is innately valuable in myself. No matter what it is, whether I give 25% of my salary away before tax, or maybe I come to church even when I really don't want to, or maybe I'm a very moral person. You know, I hold to Jesus' teaching. Even the hard stuff, what society don't like, I hold to that. None of that will get us into heaven. Jesus says it's impossible by ourselves. The disciples cry out after the camel and eye of a needle illustration. Who then can be saved? It's impossible with man, Jesus says. What is impossible with man, fortunately, is possible with God. I asked Andy this week if we could sing after the sermon, Rock of Ages. It's one of my favourite hymns for two reasons. First of all, if you flip over the page, you'll see it's written by a guy called Augustus Montague Toplady. Now, with a name like Matt Taylor, you're always looking for unique names. And I love that name, don't you? Augustus Montague Toplady. Anyway, that's a slightly less serious way of why I like this song. The second reason is the final verse. The second verse. And it nails this truth of what it means to be a little child. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Naked come to you for dress, helpless look for you for grace. Foul I to the fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, or I die. All my works could not atone. You must save, and you alone. Each of us must stand before Jesus, and each of us in ourselves are morally bankrupt. We're dirty. We're naked. Now, if you think, that's crazy, I'm not that bad. I'm actually quite good compared to most people around. Well, just for maybe 7 hours, it's not that long, is it, for the rest of the day, think, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to think anything or do anything that is unkind or not true. That's quite an easy standard. Maybe I can do that. And at the day, review yourself. Now, I reckon even if you set the bar of what is unkind and what is untrue, that we won't even set up to our own standards. And God's standards are far higher. I'm morally bankrupt before God. What is impossible for me to do? Well, the good news is Jesus has done it. After telling these stories, he predicts his death a third time. Verse 31, he says, we're going up to Jerusalem, insult him, spit on him, flog him, kill him, and on the third day he'll rise again. Why? Why is this here? Because this is the way the impossible is made possible. It's the way dependent children can come into the kingdom. As a little baby, as Josephine looks to her father for everything she needs for life, so we need to look to Jesus, the one who has made the impossible possible. He says, I'll clean you. He says, I'll dress you. I'll feed you. I'll forgive you. Have you received God's kingdom like a baby? That's the question. And secondly, we've got the command. Verse 16, Jesus says, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them." It's quite a challenging verse. And I've been chewing over, how is it that I potentially hinder people? And maybe I set something them to do something that they cannot do and say, you've got to do this to be in God's kingdom. Or I say, well, you've got to have something to become a part of God's kingdom. How do I see this coming out? Well, maybe this week, those of us helping out at HBC, we make the good news about Jesus kind of inaccessible to people. So maybe in the language that we use kind of jargony language that unless you go to church, you really won't know about. Or maybe we pitch our questions in such a way that means only the bright children could ever understand what Jesus is about. Or maybe we invest our times in those kids we get energy back from, so the outgoing ones, rather than the quiet ones. And in some respects, we're hindering them from the unchurched, the unintelligent, the quiet, and frankly, sometimes just the plain strange child from hindering the kingdom. Maybe we wouldn't want them in our family, so we think God really wouldn't want them in his. And we're just like those disciples, aren't we? And Jesus says, don't hinder them. Or maybe we have that assumption that obviously Nightmare Nigel would never enter God's kingdom. And so on that Thursday, we invest all our time in, who are they, Belinda and Helpful Harry. But it goes far beyond HBC. It is far greater than that. It's got ramifications for the rest of life. Well, we can think about kids briefly, because they're here, not because I'm the children's and youth worker, please don't hear me giving myself a reason for my job or anything like that. But what is going on as the kids in their groups at the moment? I think I've heard... what are the groups here called? Is it Sunday Club? Is that right? Yeah, okay. I'm going to say some things. Maybe anyway, let's say it. I've heard these groups called various things. Sunday school. What does that give you a sense that's going on in Sunday school? Teaching. To what end? Teaching to the end that people get brighter. This is what you do at school, to academic, and you increase your knowledge. Sunday club, I've heard, which is called here. Slightly treading on eggshells here. But what does that tell you? Well, what's happening? The kids are being entertained. It's their club. It's their fun time. Well, maybe it could bring across the idea that the kids are just out there so that they're not in here spoiling everything. So the adults can have their teaching and the kids are just being entertained. But what about Sunday church? Because what is going on right now in another room in this school is as vital as what is happening here. These kids can have a real relationship with Jesus that is as needful for them to hear the Bible and to know him as it is for us. And we need to adopt an attitude which says these children can enter God's kingdom and are as equal as well as the church of tomorrow. And we're running slightly out of time, but what about our evangelism? As we go into the office and we talk to our colleagues. Nice, Nicola. Well, obviously, you know, God would want her in her kingdom. Who wouldn't want her? Well, Peter, well, he's a bit of a lad. Is he ever going to repent? Would he ever want to change his lifestyle? He seems to be having a wonderful time. Oh, God will never want, never be able to change him. Well, Pavel, have I ever spoken to Pavel? Do I hinder people just by walking across the other side of the road? Do I hinder people by who I talk to? Who will enter God's kingdom? The children, those babies. As we see a baby this week, why not remember it's the dependent have-nots who will enter the kingdom? We've got to be like Josephine and resting in her father's arms. That is how we'll enter and the kingdom. question is, have we received the kingdom like a little baby? And a challenge, a command, don't hinder people from entering the kingdom. Let's pray together. Jesus called the children to him. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you did call children to yourselves, those that other people rejected. Thank you very much that you welcome them. As we look around our world, there are lots of people who the world rejects, and we know that you don't. Thank you very much that you are willing to have mercy upon anyone who comes to you. We pray for this week coming. Please draw many from any background at HBC to know you as their Lord and Saviour. Please have mercy upon them. And please would you help us not to be those who are a hindrance but a help. Please would we be accessible and be winsome to all and for your glory. Amen. We're going to straight into singing. Is that right? We're going to sing Rock of Ages.